Hello, I'm Britt Sexton, clinical social worker at MCHC's Knott County Medical Clinic. Unfortunately, one in five people will experience mental health disorders or substance abuse. These conditions have increased in children and young adults. At MCHC, we treat the person while reducing the stigma that is associated with behavioral disorders. With MCHC's sliding scale, you only pay based on your family size and income. MCHC providing better physical and mental health for a longer life.
Know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.
You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Make sure to visit one of their 12 locations across Eastern Kentucky and Virginia and take care of all of your healthcare needs. I know they sure take care of mine. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for MCHC and my yearly checkups and my random trips to the doctor, but we're here. Speaking of doctor, I feel like joined here with Brady Kennedy again. Brady, first of all, you're pretty much a regular on the show now, man. I am.
I appreciate you having me always.
Blue. Yeah. I think it's going to have to be, you know, the drill with Brady and Wes here.
Might make it official. Get a little cartoon. I need a cartoon cut out or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I need to get some earphones or something. I think you're only.
You need some ear. Yeah.
I need a studio.
That's what does it. I don't think these are necessary. I think my ears are just so big that they give me these so that I hide them on the camera. I don't know that they would all get, you know.
I will say, though, I think you do have one of the best haircuts in the game.
Oh.
Always do have a fresh fade.
You know, I cut my own hair.
Really?
I cut my own hair. I have no idea what the back looks like. So, thankfully, the camera's in the front. But, you know.
That's it. Now, that's a new one. I did not know about you.
So, you know, COVID hit, man, and everything kind of shuts down, right? So my barber, shout out to Matt from Hindman, just opened his new location at the mini mall in Hindman. I know some of our listeners know where that is, but, you know, COVID hit and it got really hard. He shut down for a while and I was like, man, I can't go without a haircut. So I've got to figure this out and just started, you know, doing the double mirror thing and ordered some clippers from Amazon. Here we are.
You do a great job. That looks professionally done.
Hey, you know, you got to, it's really nice because I like to keep the fresh fade. So once a week gets kind of expensive.
Once a week. I shave once a week.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I can't imagine cutting my hair. See, I'm losing my hair now. So I got to keep it while it lasts.
I feel you. I was cutting the other day and I was like, it's getting a little bare back there. I don't know.
Yeah. That's why you just got to grow so people can't see it.
That's it. I'm totally, Brady, I'm not going to lie. I'm totally not against a toupee if it comes to that.
Would you go toupee? See, what's worse, getting a toupee or dyeing your hair? I think once you dye your hair, people realize you dye your hair more than if you have a toupee.
I feel like the trick is not to let it. Like if you go from gray to black, all of a sudden people are going to recognize, right? You have to.
Absolutely.
You can't let it get to that point first.
And it's kind of one of those things. Do you think those kind of people realize people are looking at them? Because I think everyone points it out.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where they're like.
He dyes his hair.
But
I'm like you. I know you see those TikTok videos with the toupees and they're, man, like it's, you can't even tell. It's like.
Which, have you seen the recent Eric Menendez documentary? He had a toupee.
Yeah. Great.
That might be for another podcast, but that's a big time story in the news today, Blue.
Big time story. Shout out to Winston Lee. Just bought his wife, Wit, the card, the Mark Jackson card that has the brothers in the background.
Yeah, man. Cards. But.
Well, Brady, you know, it's, I feel kind of, I took off last week. I was on the road all last week. I spent most of my days in the wonderful city of Pikeville, Kentucky. Pretty cool. Got to watch a little outdoor concert with Corduroy Brown. Have you ever heard of Corduroy Brown?
I've not.
Apparently, oh, he's great. Great name, right? Like, and yeah, he totally was wearing like this fur corduroy jacket, and it was like 20 degrees outside. I really wish I was in it with him. But yeah, pretty good artist, man. Shout out to, I don't think Corduroy Brown listens to this podcast, but if he does, shout out to you, man. I enjoyed the couple of songs I sat through the freezing cold to listen to you with. But yeah, so I was out last week, and Brady, as bad as I have to say it, I feel like in the world of Kentucky football, since the last episode of You Know the Drill, man, that has happened. I'm pretty sure one of the last episodes of You Know the Drill, me, you, and Winston, and was Seth on that? I don't think Seth was on the last episode, but man, we were talking about what this season could be for Kentucky. And since then, you know, we've lost to Vanderbilt. We've lost to Florida. And well, we actually talked about the Vanderbilt loss, but then, you know, you go down to Florida, a game that I think almost everybody had circled that Kentucky would probably win.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to the Swamp, and man, we never came back out.
Yeah. I think it's so hard to lose a locker room in today's age. I mean, it's especially in what's crazy in football now is with this 12-team playoff, a team like, you look at Alabama with two losses now, I mean, they're still kind of in the hunt. They might be out of it. I mean, probably, but after one loss, you're usually out of it. But now it's really, you're out of the like hunt, where if these guys, you can lose a locker room quick. I mean, you just saw it with Memphis. I don't know if you've seen that with Memphis basketball as of yesterday, a guy just transferred. He lost the locker room because of different circumstances, which we don't know what's true or not. But I think just this whole era that we talked about on the last few calls and podcasts, that the locker room in today's age is just like almost impossible to manage. And I think the only way to manage it's just win. And once you start losing, I think culture is big. And we know, we talk in a group chat, who's more of a culture guy than Casey Huff? Fellow Knott County, shout out Casey Huff. Shout out to Winston and Casey starting the high school year. We got to give them.
Yeah, high school basketball, October the 15th is past.
Culture's huge, I think. And I think that kind of gets unnoticed right now. I think that kind of – I do think that that's critical right now. And you're seeing some of these schools look at, like, Indiana with Coach Sig. I mean, I think they're pretty solid. He's great.
Yeah. Well, and that's – I'm in a separate group chat, and somebody just brought up, you know, what's wrong with Indiana's coach? Like, why is nobody mentioning him? Look what he's done with this group.
But so I think culture, I mean, it's, and again, it's hard to develop a culture when you're bringing in a new kid for 6 months.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days. It's not like even like in high school where you got a kid from freshman year up to four. So it is, and I have a soft spot for it. I was in it. It is harder than it looks from the outside. So it is difficult, and once you lose that locker room, it's tough to get it back. And I'm not saying he has lost it, but
you have to think, after, you know, a lot of people had Kentucky originally in the season 7 wins, probably. I feel like that was a pretty common consensus. But then after we go to Ole Miss and beat number 6 Ole Miss, that kind of shifted, and it was still people saying 7, possibly 8 wins if you still won. And so, you know, it's keeping a little bit of hope alive. But at this point, literally probably 2 of the easier games on your schedule you drop. And, you know, something we didn't talk about before, this Auburn game coming up, you know, Auburn is probably at one of their lowest points. Mm-hmm. And, man, you're talking now, if you happen to drop Auburn at home, if you do still have a locker room at this point, like you were mentioning, I have to think And I love that you mentioned culture. And Brady, I feel like something that we talked about a lot to ourselves and on this show, brand, we wondered how much brand would matter now with NIL, but you have to start thinking brand means a lot, right? You know, University of Kentucky is a brand. We've said that a lot with basketball, but mm-hmm. when your brand starts not looking as good and UK football does not look like that brand right now, mm-hmm. it's hard to keep guys focused on the purpose, right, yeah. Of winning.
And I think I had a good talk with a friend of mine yesterday who's in football and in the football space, just knows football and stuff. And so we were talking and just like in what's different now and what Stoops, and we talked about this, where Stoops really capitalized in his window was he beat Vandy, beat South Carolina, and he beat Florida, and then Tennessee got down.
Yeah.
It was those four. And that's kind of when we were like, I mean, we were in the playoffs. We would have been in the playoffs that one year. Was it 21, 2020, 2021? Like we would have been in the playoffs.
21, yep.
And yep. That's when he had that window. Kind of like, honestly, it's in a roundabout way, kind of like when Dayton basketball, when COVID hit, Dayton was top one. They were going to pop Final Four team when COVID hit. But they, that little short window is when that was the capitalization. Cause then once now it's shifted, you had the conference realignment with Texas and Oklahoma. You had the SEC do away with conferences because we were lucky and we were playing Mississippi State. And well, I forgot the other team we were playing where we all, and what also hurt is Georgia went on an improbable. We were second to Georgia in the East, or well, I don't know the conference, but like it was kind of a perfect storm for us to capitalize in that short window. If Georgia wasn't what they were, I mean, you're looking at maybe winning, getting to an SEC tournament or championship. But my point is like, have we capped out? Like in today's UK football era, have we capped out for the next 10 years? Like now Tennessee's loaded.
Yep.
Florida is probably at its lowest point. They're probably going to be on the come up. So, and we just lost to them. So like, okay, now they're only Vandy is seeming to be fine. South Carolina's kind of on its way back up. Ole Miss is now top 10, top 20. So it's like all these teams that were on the bottom, like are now like back to peak SEC, adding Oklahoma, adding Texas. So it's like, where are you going to invest all this money into a school like a program like Kentucky football and be mediocre? And it's a tough thing, right? Like you're throwing all this money into a sport and you're like, it generates I don't know. It's just like, you're in just such a hard conference. It's what's so yeah. hard. And they've done a great job. It's unbelievable job.
Well, and the thing about the conference, right, is you have so many schools, and we've talked about this with NIL, and you're talking about it right now as far as capping. And I think about these places, Brady, and when you think Kentucky, I know Stoops hates this, and I know my football listeners hates this, but when you think Kentucky, you think basketball, and you're kind yeah. of alluding to that. But at the same time, when you think SEC, when you think Georgia, you think football.
Yeah.
When you think Texas, generally you think football. When yep. you think and I'm just, you know, Lexington has this kind of cool advantage where you have a lot of horse money, you have a lot of coal money, but you have a limited number of boosters, right? That are donating this just absolute shit ton of money. And like you said, are you going to invest that toward a team that's mediocre in the SEC, or are you going to invest that to a basketball team that has a chance of winning a national championship? And have your name as a booster out there everywhere on national television, competing in the tournament, competing for a championship. And when I think of schools, I'm going to be honest with you. What comes to my mind, Brady, is South Carolina. I can see people in South Carolina investing money into that football program. Mm-hmm. When I think even Auburn, I can see people investing that money.
That's another one. Yeah, Auburn's down. They're going to be, you know, that is going to be, the fire is going to be lit under them. They're going to be coming back up.
And I just don't see any chance in NIL money competing with schools like Texas A&M with football. You know, and you even think Tennessee. Tennessee has been very successful at both basketball and football. However, you have a professional team in Nashville, but let's face it, Nashville and Knoxville seem like two different states. East Tennessee is going to invest a lot of money in UT football, especially with where they're at right now.
Absolutely. But on the flip side, you got to, and this is where I think Kentucky fans need to a little bit manage expectations. I think we are such a passionate, Kentucky fans are so passionate.
Yes.
And that's what makes Kentucky so good. The fans are so passionate and the expectations are so high. It's got its advantages, it's got its disadvantages. But what it does is it's, I think the football advantage, the football, I think you need to, I'm trying to phrase this in a correct way without it. I think the basketball pressure is, I think, Stoops has also elevated it to basically the expectations have risen to a level that is unprecedented at Kentucky football. But what we have to remember too is like in basketball, there's teams in the SEC that are thinking like us in football, like yes. your Georgia basketballs, your Missouri basketballs, even your Arkansas basketballs. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
That way, like even there's teams that like are just like, man, we're just never, there's teams that are just like, they're not a basketball school. And right. It is what it is. I mean, Arkansas, I mean, honestly, they're probably, I mean, I know Cal, I mean, it's going to be hopping for basketball right now. And Muss was, it was hopping for basketball, but
that's not going to last. I mean,
it's a mix of probably basketball and football school, but
yeah,
but their fans are nuts, man. They're passionate as all get out.
And you know, another school that I really feel like might struggle in the NIL era of football. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're going to say, Wes, you're crazy. But when I think of Florida, you have to think, how many professional teams Florida have for people to invest money in? How many other schools like Florida State, mm-hmm. Miami, all these other schools? There's a lot of money in Florida, but there's also a lot of teams for that money to be spread out in. And
it just depends, I think. I agree with what you're saying. I think a lot of it comes down to, I don't know their alumni base. But I do think this revenue share is going to help the SEC a little bit, like because SEC football money.
Yes.
But
it's changing the game, man. And it's, we've mentioned that a ton with Vandy. And you know, we actually, Stoops asked the Big Blue Nation to pony up, and I feel like they did. We've got an amazing SEC college atmosphere that's been going on at Kroger Field. We've got quarterbacks and players that are receiving well over $1 million to play, but you're not seeing it on the field. And I worry about that.
Yeah.
And it's just like we said, that money could be invested into basketball. And unfortunately, you don't want to think about it that way. But if I'm someone who is donating millions of dollars to Kentucky's Club Blue Fund, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to put my money to where my name's going to be seen. I'm going to put it to a program that's going to win. I worry about that. And we've talked a lot, Brady, about the future of Mark Stoops. And me and you personally have talked a lot about the fact that I don't see man, he's kind of, and I hate to compare it this way, but I almost see him in the John Calipari phase, right? Of he's comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't think he believes that, unless he just really screws up, I don't think he believes that Mitch Barnhart is going to give him the boot. And he's probably making at Kentucky more than he's going to make at any other job he could get right now.
Yep.
So why would he leave unless he just gets some kind of pressure? His buyout is pretty substantial. I don't see Mitch trying to do that. So as bad as, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about Stoops, but Brady, I don't see Stoops going anywhere anytime soon.
No, and rightfully so. He's earned the contract that he's probably got. Like,
he's earned it. He's earned the contract.
I mean, he's done an unbelievable job, and it's just like that's kind of gone back to what we talked. Like, is this job capped? And I think you can get to a playoff here maybe once every 10, and I just want to manage expectations from a football perspective. It's like, I think fans would be happy with a playoff once every 10, 15, 20 years. With 20. I mean, I think they want one every 20, but I think we got to lower expectations. But I do think what fans don't want is they don't want a performance like Florida. They don't want. And I do think what this fan base wants a little bit too is, and I don't know. Yeah. I know you got season tickets, and I do think they would rather lose 50 to 45, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think they want to lose 10 to 3.
Like 48 to 20.
They don't want it. They want to see points. And I think that's another thing. Again, I'm not a huge football person, and I don't know, but like, I'm just trying to like, but you know what? I was just thinking about this. This kind of came to mind, but do you think, football specifically, quarterbacks at the end of the day are like the most pressured position probably in all sports, I would say. Do you think the NIL era has put more pressure on these football guys? Because you look at even like Devin Leary and a guy like Brock Vandegrift, they're the highest paid player by far on Kentucky's team. And with a probably an NIL that's not probably compared to the SEC, like they're getting paid a lot probably compared to Kentucky, who's probably not compared to the SEC. So they're very well compensated for their team. Do you think that's added pressure to them to maybe underperform? Like, is that added? Like, do you think that if they weren't getting paid, they'd be playing better?
It's definitely pressure, right? I mean, and when you think about that, it's just like you said, quarterbacks are going to be your highest paid position on probably any given football team. To win, you're going to have a decent quarterback. Even if you've got an amazing running back, in today's game, you just cannot ground and pound an entire season. And so they are the highest paid. And so I think so. I mean, and I think what's commonly, and I want to talk a little bit about this on the basketball side later, but it's pretty common, right, to realize these guys are superstars. They're known across the country. People are wanting their autograph, taking their picture. They're making over $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, they're young. They're still essentially I'm not going to say a kid because they're adults, but these guys are sometimes just out of high school, and it's easy to forget that. So when you think about, am I going in here to play for UK and win, or am I going in here to play for UK and make these millions of dollars and win? That's added pressure, I would have to think. I would really have to think that. I think that's a great point you made. I know me myself, if I'm working a job and I'm doing it out of the love of my heart and because I really just love doing it, I'm not getting really compensated for it. It's something I love to do. But then you also throw $1 million on top of my head and say, you're going to get this $1 million, go perform. Man, that's more pressure.
Exactly. You look at the guy from Florida State, quarterback. They threw him from Duke a ton of money. I mean, Brock's got the tools. Like, Devin Leary was one of the most sought after quarterbacks last year. Like, yep. There's talent in all these guys. I mean, there's got to be something, because you're sitting in that locker room after a bad game and like you've got this money, you're probably got a nice car, and now you've got this added, you got to feel some guilt. Like, hey, I got to admit, like, man, my backup quarterback made 50K. And like, all right, he's breathing down my back. Like, you, some there's a natural human emotion that comes into it. We're not robots. And everybody feels it, whether you want to say it or not. Like, there's got to be something. That's why, I mean, shoot, look at the, what's his name? The Cowboys quarterback. He got paid freaking crazy money. Like, he hasn't done anything since that quarterback, like, or since that contract. And I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, but I personally, I would struggle with it. I think I would rather, trust me, I would love the money, but man, I don't think I would handle it, to be honest with you.
Well, and you talked about locker room earlier, Brady, and I think one of my big worries with NIL was always, and you mentioned it just a second ago, you're going to have a guy that may be making $1.2 million, and the guy that is the locker next door to him in the locker room might be making 20 grand. And so how do you feel when you go out and this guy maybe is one of your linemen and he has just worked it and he's done everything that's asked, and you go out and you don't perform well, but you're still making over $1 million more than him?
Yeah.
I worry about the culture that creates in a locker room. And if there's jealousy that comes out of that as well as the added pressure, it's just a crazy dynamic we're in with college sports right now. Crazy to think about, crazy to fathom. With that being said, and you kind of alluded to it, the struggle of Kentucky competing in the SEC as far as football wise. Realistically, Brady, we look at the rest of the schedule. You've got Auburn at home. You're going to win the Murray State game. I mean, let's be honest. You're going to win the Murray State game, but you're on the road at Tennessee. You're on the road at Texas. And then you're at home at Louisville, who's a really good football team. You may only win one more game this season. It's possible.
And it's to a mid-major in home.
It's, yeah.
Now, the good thing is, let's look at the bright side on this. The good thing is there's a lot of games on the slate to keep these guys engaged. So you're going to be playing some juiced up games for these guys at Tennessee, at Texas. I mean, if you don't get up for that, we at Kentucky, we used to call those money games for basketball. So you got like, there was a story. I'll tell you a good story. It was a former trainer of ours, Chris Simmons, who passed away. He went to Memphis, but he told us a story that John Wall told him. He was big on money games. But basically was like, he knew what games he would call it. I mean, it was a joke, right? Like, it was, he knew what games like meant more, but just that's if you performed in those games, like that was the ones that the scouts and everything, like just the highlight one.
National
and one of the,
television
like, and the one like quote unquote like money game, the Carolina game, right? Like that was the one that was that first CBS game on Saturday, like all the lights, noon game, you knew the whole world was watching, right? Like quote unquote money game, right? You play he had the game of his life. I mean, that kind of, that was one of those coming out parties. I mean, he already was out of that kind of put him on the map of like, that stamped his number one pick, right? Like Kentucky football's got some players on their roster that can stamp, they play well versus Tennessee, they play well versus Texas. They can stamp themselves in the draft, right? Like that's a good thing. They got some quote unquote money games coming up that they can kind of play for, which is nice. So,
well, I think that's a great point. If I'm Brock Vandegrift, if I'm Darian Brown, if I'm Dane Key, I mean, if I'm Barrion Brown and Dane Key going to Tennessee, going to Texas, who are two teams that are going to be competing for a national championship, it's just like you said, you're going to come to try to show out that game and you're going to play. So that's a really good point, you know. And Seth Carlock on one of the previous episodes said that he still thought we were going to have seven wins, but one of those were going to be a steal. He thought we were going to drop one. I don't think he thought we were going to drop too.
But what's up with you wearing orange?
Okay, so this is not a Tennessee shirt. As soon as you see it, you're going to know why I'm wearing orange.
Oh, great shirt.
TB12, baby, TB12. That's who we need. That's what would turn the Kentucky program around. Let's hire Tom Brady.
We need to get him on the podcast somehow. He's now on he's owning things now. Like,
by the way, yes. And we all know how I feel about Tom Brady, the GOAT. But I just mentioned hiring Tom Brady. Did you see the news that came out over the last couple of days? And it's still so interesting to see with Kentucky football, with everything we've been saying. Wesley Woodyard, did you see his statement on Twitter? He basically went to Twitter and said, "Don't think y'all forgot. I told you that my dream is to be the head coach at Kentucky. I've got unfinished business." And so, Brady, I want you to think about that as well. Obviously, we said Mark Stoops not going anywhere anytime soon, and I don't think it matters. But we've seen what happened when we hired a former player in basketball with Mark Pope. Initially, everybody's kind of pissed, right? Because you're going after all these very, very high name coaches across the country. And then you hire Mark Pope, who nobody thought anything about, and everybody's kind of mad. But then his love for Kentucky, his passion for what Kentucky basketball did for him, has really caused him to win this fan base. What would happen if, when the Mark Stoops era is over, if football did something similar? What if they hired a Wesley Woodyard, or what if they hired I'm not saying that he would be interested, I'm just throwing names, a Randall Cobb, something like that. Is that something that could maybe propel getting these players in, that passion for what Kentucky football did for them, the way that Mark Pope used what Kentucky basketball did for him?
I like it, but would you, I think it's a double-edged sword a little bit though, because You run into the something happens like a Kenny Payne, right? Like, you bring in somebody that's so beloved with the alumni and with the former players and the fans and everything, and then something happens and goes sour, and now it's like, is he coming back? When will he be able to be coming back to honor that? So it's like, you bring in a guy like a Randall Cobb, right? Let's say it just ends horribly after 3 years. How does Randall now view Kentucky, and how do fans view Randall? Are they kind of like, so I think it's great. I think there's like a honeymoon stage. Like, I think as you see with Coach Pope, like, there's been so much passion for Kentucky within the last 4 months, but like, there's now a time, like, I mean, it's real. And I think if you asked him, I think he would say the same thing. Like, it's time to win now. Like, it's the, everything preseason is exhibition, I think, starts tomorrow, and real games start in 2 weeks. So it's time to win. So it's kind of that honeymoon stage is over. And I think that whole staff knows it, and it's produced. And that's kind of why it is hard to, I think sometimes hire, sometimes alumni and sometimes different things, because I think he's going to do a phenomenal job. But just, you always run in that fear of, like, you know what I mean? Welcoming a guy back, because you got a guy like, it's like a Randall or a Wesley Woodyard did come back. How is that always kind of dynamic? You just never know.
Well, and I feel like that's where you have to get really careful. Right. And I think that's why this was such an excellent hire for Mitch Barnhart. And I've said this to you before, and I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. I think it was a safe win-win with Mark Pope.
Correct.
Because I think Mitch knew that Pope was going to do what he's done thus far. He was going to win over the Commonwealth. All of his former teammates were going to surround him. And I think Mitch knew that even if Mark Pope doesn't win, it's a short-term contract, not a crazy amount of money. I mean, it's still a crazy amount of money, but not what we would have been paying Coach Hurley or someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a save with Mark Pope, because I think Mitch knew, even if first of all, if Mark Pope comes in and does what I think he will do and does an exceptional job, great. We'll renew his contract and he'll coach five more years and Kentucky will be back.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't win, I think he knew that Pope has that characteristic about him that it's going to be okay. Pope is still going to have that love for Kentucky. So I think that's where you have to be careful so that it's not somebody that it does sour with.
I agree.
And, you know, with that being said, and, you know, shifting on over to the basketball landscape, like you said, first exhibition tomorrow against Kentucky Wesleyan. And just kind of like we've seen with a lot of the times with Cal, and you were on the John Calipari staff at Kentucky for a little while. You know all about this. You've got some pretty big games coming up pretty soon in the roster for Kentucky. And that's going to happen with Kentucky. You're going to have those championship classics and things that you play. How do you feel from what you've seen thus far? We've had Big Blue Madness. We've had Blue White. We've had people going to practice. What are you seeing right now? Is Pope going to be able to deliver what he's got this Big Blue Nation pumped up for?
I think so. I think it's funny because you just really don't know until they get out there against other competition. I know these guys, just from my experience, these players and staff are just sick of playing each other. They're sick. You know how it is in high, like, you know, when you're in practice as well, you're just sick of everything. You're sick of everybody. So tomorrow, I'm sure they're eager to get after it. But the biggest thing, I think, you just won't know until you get out there and play Division I competition. And really, for their sake, you really won't know until you get out there and play your high major. They've got is Duke their first?
Duke is their first test, November the 12th. Yeah.
And really, I think what goes unnoticed from my experience, I mean, that's a big test all around, right? You forget that's the first time they travel. That's the first time they fly, which I don't know if they've flown. They didn't do any kind of foreign tour or anything, but it's the first time they travel, the first time they stay in a hotel together, this first time they eat, they do that whole, it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve for everybody. So it's a big adjustment. The good thing is they got a lot of older guys. It's a little bit different from younger guys. They're kind of wide eyed, like, oh, they stay in a hotel and they got a roommate and pregame meals at this time, and they got to be woken up and hang your door. They got annoying managers knocking on their door, and it's a learning curve. But I think so. I think they're going to be fine. It seems like they're going to be good.
One of my big worries, and you know, yesterday I got to attend the Greater Louisville Alumni Association's tip-off luncheon with Coach Pope and Coach Kenny Brooks for the girls. Wonderful event, you know, especially with two coaches getting ready to take over their team for the first time. Guys that the Big Blue Nation has a lot of expectations for. But, you know, Coach Pope said one thing in an interview there when I went to that made me feel a little bit better, because one of my big worries is, and we've seen this a few times with Cal, you're going to know this, you have a group of guys that have never played together before. So that worries you to an extent, although they are older guys. We have a lot of experienced, vetted players, but at the same time, they're learning each other, right? And one of the things that Coach Pope said that made me feel a little bit better about that is he said, we did not want to go out and get just a group of players that were the best players out there. He said, I think I did get some of the best players out there, but that wasn't the goal. I wanted to find a group of guys that understood what Kentucky basketball was about, that were great young men on and off the court, that were mature beyond the hardwood. And I feel like he's done that to an extent. We've seen these guys interact with fans. And, you know, I think he has a group that aren't only vetted on the floor, they're vetted as human beings. And I think, you know, their personalities and their characteristics is what Pope needed for a roster that has never played together before. You know, I've seen interviews on TikTok where they refer to Andrew Carr as the dad of the team, right? And you've got these guys that are coming in that have played in the NCAA tournament. I think of Lamont Butler. I think about guys who aren't going to start right off the bat, possibly like Otega, but is still going to have that matureness to be able to handle coming off of the bench.
Yeah, and Otega, I remember Otega. So Otega was played for team final back with I remember him. He played on the Jalen Duren team with team final back in high school when, if people remember that team, in AAU when they won Peach. I think they won Peach Jam, but it was Jalen Duren. Amani Bates played with him for a little bit, but they had a stacked AAU team. So he's used to playing a role. He was like the fifth or sixth best player on that. And I say fifth option. Didn't really score it a ton. It was, golly, who was on that team? It was Jalen Duren. I mean, they were stacked. Amani played with him for a little bit. But my point being is, Otega is a guy that's kind of like a Swiss. Like he's cool not getting shots. He kind of fills the role of whatever you need. So, like, that's what I liked about him. As a freshman, I don't know if he was ready to come in and produce at Kentucky. That was kind of the difference. Kentucky's a little bit different for Cat, like out of a freshman, but I think he's going to be an important piece for them. I really liked him out of high school.
I like it too. And I feel like him, you know, he's one of those guys that has that motor, right? And you mentioned it, he's not worried about getting those shots and his ability to defend you. And I mean, as we can tell thus far, and Pope said it, we're not going to get any 10-second calls. They're going to play fast. I like the group, man. I've mentioned Andrew Carr already. I thought he impressed me a ton at the Blue White game, just his ability to shoot. He's got the height that he can shoot over you. He's going to have a lot of open shots that other guys wouldn't get, and he knocks them down. But then you've got that competitive nature of Kerr Crissa,
which we played him at Arizona State. He is a dog. Like,
I'm so excited.
He's a competitor. Like, that's what I appreciate about him. Like, he's going to, like, he'll do some things to make you mad. Like, he'll do some things where you're going to be like, I like to describe him for people that haven't really watched too much of Kerr. He's going to do some things that'll make you scratch your head. Like, kind of like Dillingham last year, just kind of like, man, what's he doing? But he'll do a lot of really good things. Like, you'll be like, man, that's a great play. Like, he's going to go to war. He'll fight, he'll scrap, he'll talk his crap. Like, he'll get the crowd involved. Like, I mean, he would go at Coach Hurley all the time with us, and he would talk to opposing coaches. He'll talk to refs. I mean,
I tell people all the time, the best way I know, and you know him much better than me. You've been, when you were at Arizona State, you played him, but I love the fact, I like to explain him that he's that guy that when you play against him, if I'm sitting at home or I'm sitting at the game, you're watching him and you're like, man, that guy is a dick. Like,
yes,
you know, I hate him, but now that he's on your side,
yes,
is a really good feeling.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, exactly. But he's a guy you want to go to war with. He's going to be the first guy. There's a fight, he's going to stick up for somebody. Again, I think you put it perfectly. If he's on your team, you love him. If he's against you, you just hate him. So.
Yeah, and I think Brady or their listeners will be excited when I say this. One of the things that stood out to me at the Blue White game, I wondered how some of the interstate guys that Pope has brought in, such as Trent Noah and Travis Perry, how that was going to fare with them. I was unbelievably impressed with Travis Perry at the Blue White game. And really? For a couple of reasons, you know, Pope had him playing the one. He was mostly in the point guard position at the Blue White game, but the dude coaching against him at Madisonville, and shout out to my guy, Trevor Rye, who is a scouting genius, but Trevor Rye will tell you, I don't know that I've ever coached against a player at the high school level who had the amount of basketball IQ that Travis Perry has. Unbelievable. His basketball IQ on the floor. And I feel like I saw that at the Blue White game. He lacked a little bit of the speed and athleticism of some of the guys that he was playing against. You know, he had Lamont Butler guarding him a lot of the day, and he did not get himself in trouble. He was able to get himself into scenarios where he was helping other guys. And but the big thing that impressed me the most with him, Brady, is the scrappiness that he showed. He was on the floor after balls. He was getting his hands on passes, and then when he would deflect them, it wasn't sitting, wait on a teammate to get it while I cherry pick. It was, if I deflect the ball, I'm going after it and I'm getting it. I was really impressed. And from what I saw at Blue White, and I could be bad wrong, I think it will be hard for Pope not to give him some minutes on the floor. I don't know that that would be substantial. So I hope nobody in Kentucky are thinking that Trent Noah and Travis Perry should be out here starting. I don't think they are Reed Shepherd at this point. Far from it. But I think it would be hard for Pope to keep him off the floor in spurts.
Yeah. Can shoot it, man. I mean,
he can shoot it.
I think that's the one thing that I think I'll give him credit for, man, is like, if you watch him in high school, none of his shots were easy shots. I mean, his shots were like contested. They weren't really catch and shoot. So
we had this brilliant plan at Madisonville, Brady. We had watched, shout out again to my guy Trevor Rye. We had watched enough film when we went up against Lyon County and Travis Perry in the region tournament. We had this bright idea that we had seen on film that usually when the other team goes into the locker room, Lyon County's big three, we're talking Travis Perry and Shoulders and the other group, they would stay. When the other team went in the locker room, they would stay on the floor and they would get up extra shots where it was just the three of them. And they were probably getting up, you know, double the amount of shots they'd gotten the entire warm-up. So we had this bright idea. We're not going to go in the locker room because we're not going to let them come over and get those extra shots up in warm-up. So, you know, it gets to that point and I'm looking down there and I can see Coach Perry. And shout out to Coach Perry. I got to speak to him a little bit at the Blue White game the other day. Daddy Perry, I like to call him. But I kept looking over at Daddy Perry, and, you know, he keeps looking up at the clock and he'll look at us. And you could tell he was thinking, when are these dudes going to go in the locker room so I can get my big three down here to get some extra shots up? And we just didn't go. And I have to give it to Travis Perry. You know, he even comes over before the game and he just acts like no big deal. And he comes out and it's just like it routine meant nothing to the guy. He still came out and played and just unreal player. And I think he is going to surprise a lot of people at Kentucky. I want to tell this story too, Brady, while I'm on the story train. I don't know how much of the luncheon from this week in Louisville got aired. I've seen some clips on TikTok and Twitter, but I think you will love this one and a lot of our listeners. It made me feel a lot better about some of my choices in life. One fan stood up and asked, Pope brought his wife Leanne on stage, you know, the first lady of the Kentucky Wildcats at this point. And a fan said, what was your first date together? Have you heard this story?
Oh,
amazing. Leanne wastes no time. She pulls the mic up and she's going to tell this right off the bat. And you can see Pope's face. He's like, oh, she's going for this. And so Mark Pope and Leanne Pope's first date, according to Leanne, is Mark Pope picks her up at her house in Manhattan. And that's an important thing to remember. We're in Manhattan, and picks her up. And as soon as she gets in the car, there's a toddler in the back seat. And, you know, Mark Pope jokingly right off the bat says, that's not the way you do it, is it, fellas? But there's a toddler in the back seat. It ends up being Coach Pope's niece, who he had promised to find a babysitter for. And he did. But the first part of the date is them going to drop off Coach Pope's niece at the babysitter. But this is where I love it. And this makes me, like I said, feel a lot better about some of my decisions in life. But Pope drives her to a gas station in Manhattan. It's a 7-Eleven. And he pulls up and he puts the car in park at this 7-Eleven and says, there you go, baby. Go inside and get anything you want. And I'm just like, oh, that's amazing. That makes me love Coach Pope that even more. His first step of his first date with Leanne is to take her to the 7-Eleven. Go in, baby.
Honestly, I'm impressed that they found a 7-Eleven in Manhattan. I mean,
that's true. In Manhattan. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, Got to give him props for that.
I mean, give him props. We've seen Pope, though, in the little standard shift. Where did he go on that recruiting trip when he was in another country and he had the little humped up?
Oh, in like England or something.
Something. He had the little standard shift vehicle driving around.
New York, I mean, kudos. But, man, 7-Eleven. Did she say what she got?
Yes, she got Twizzlers and a Diet Coke.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a good combo. I'm more of a Diet Mountain Dew guy, but I'll take Diet Coke.
You know what? On that topic, I can't do anything sweet anymore, really. Gatorade sends me into like a shock.
I have to go zero sugar.
But actually, you know what? I think respect for him for that. That put her. What was your first date?
My first date was actually, and I'll call my wife out on this one. This is when I found out that she was one of those people that lies about where they are on the way to a place, right? So we're in Pikeville at Bank 253, and great place. If you've not been to the bank in Pikeville, you should go. But we get there, and, you know, we hadn't met in person. And so I pull up, I get there early. You know, I'm trying to make sure. I actually went to Marshall's before and picked out a new outfit and changed right there in the car. But I pull up at the bank, and I text her, and I'm like, hey, I'm here. Let me know when you're here. And she responds with, I'm here. So I'm like, oh. So I walk inside the restaurant looking for, you know, this girl that would end up being my wife that I'd never seen before. And I'm looking and I don't see her. And the hostess is like, are you looking? I was like, I think I've got somebody here. I'm looking. And I'm like, well, I'm embarrassed now because she's probably looking at me and I just don't recognize her at this point. But then I turn to walk back outside to text her again and be like, are you in there? And she's getting out of her car and walking in. I was like, you said you were here. And she was like, well, I was coming down the street. I was like, that's when I knew she was one of those.
That's nice.
Where'd
you eat?
We ate at Bank 253.
Oh, I thought you were like, Bank 253 was like an actual bank.
Bank 253 in Pikeville. You should go sometime. Really great atmosphere, great food. They're not a sponsor, but they should be.
Well, we should do a portable podcast, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the Brady and Emily Kennedy first date?
Double Dogs, Lexington, Kentucky. Oh,
great choice.
We watched we were in the NCAA tournament and we watched the Duke Blue Devils with Zion Williamson team almost get upset. Remember when they played Taco?
Yes.
Should have got upset. Yeah. Got some chicken tenders. I actually picked her up. I squealed in with my Chevy Malibu.
That's a great first date.
Love at first sight, man. She was hooked.
I know. Yeah. I've wondered this whole time why she married you, but now I know. Double Dogs. And
she was like, who is this guy? I squealed in. Like she lived on this like house where like her driveway was like ramped up. So like my car barely made it up her hill and I like squealed in. I was like, I'm not a good driver. So it was.
Hey, I've rode with you several times. You've always got me where I'm trying.
I like doing everything besides drive when I'm driving, you know, I like music, texting, maybe making my DraftKings picks, you know, just.
I like to listen to the, you know, the drill podcast while I drive.
Listening to, I like to too.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask you, and I threw this out to you today and I honestly got busy and I don't even know if there was a response. So I told you my worry with Pope this year, Brady, but you mentioned, and I mentioned too, the fact that these guys are older.
Yep.
What happens after this year when obviously Pope's probably going to get some more older players in the portal, but in Pope's first turnover at Kentucky, he's going to almost essentially have a brand new team 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think the hard part, and I think the hard part, right, I think is figuring out the unique balance of high school kids and older guys. Right? I think what's the balance? And I think that's where you're going to have which I saw Hunter Dickinson still in college basketball, by the way. I saw that pop up.
That's a fake birth certificate.
I saw that pop up the other day. I was like, I really took me by surprise. But I think that's a really hard thing to figure out as a coach, because what you're going to fall into the trap of, and I see they've got two guys, high school kids, that are pretty much going to be committed soon. I think they've got some crystal balls are out there that are leaning toward Kentucky. So you've got two more guys with Malachi and Jasper. So now you've got four guys in this high school class. Do you take a fifth? Now you're looking at
probably on top of Travis Perry and Trent Noah.
Yeah. So that's seven. And then you've got, again, so you got seven. It's just hard to tell. I think it's hard. I mean, it's you, and then not only do you do have the other tricky part is too, you've got three freshmen, probably four. All four freshmen are probably coming in and expecting to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jasper clearly is. I mean, he's a top 20 kid. McDonald's All-American, probably. These other two are probably McDonald's All-Americans. Malachi is probably on the cusp. And I mean, there's some expectations there now that you're going to have to manage on top of. And that was something we ran into at Kentucky with recruiting that people probably didn't realize is people use recruiting against each other with, hey, look at your roster. Look who they got. That, like, don't think that other schools aren't saying they already got Jasper. Like, you think you're going to play over him? Like, we don't have a two guard here. Like, you're going to, so they're going to, schools play off that. So I think that's another thing that you got to be careful of too. Some schools I know are basically saying no high school.
Yeah.
Let's just go all portal. Let's go get a Kobe Brea. That's how Pope got Kobe Brea, kind of was like, hey, you can come get your, we don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Does Kobe Brea come here? Jasper Johnson's on the roster previously. Now he's looking, he's got Jasper. Like, I don't know. I don't know. He might. Yes. I don't know. But that's some things that now you're going to have to figure out. But that's part of the roster management. That's why you got coaches and you talk and you got your boards. And
that's why, Brady, they get paid a lot more than what I get paid.
It's a hard thing to do. You got to keep not only the kids happy, you got to keep the parents happy. You got to keep the parents' people happy. They're also making money.
Yeah. And you got to keep the money coming in. You've got to fundraise.
Right. And so there's a whole bunch of things at play too, because also it's like, there's just so many things at play that people don't realize. It's like even like something as simple as like, there's a kid that maybe you brought in that has a really deep connection with an AAU program. You want to keep them happy as well, because you screw that up, then you may never get a kid from that program again.
Right.
There is politics in all this, and it's deeper than probably some people even realize.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
and then you've got 75-year-old Jim Larranaga still down in Miami doing it. It blows my mind.
If I'm in Miami, I'm probably doing it too. Actually, you know what? If I'm in Miami, I'm probably hanging it up. And
I'm retired, man.
I don't know. Which some news, Tony Bennett, that we gotta talk about that for a second. I think he I don't necessarily like the timing, but I do respect him doing it. I don't respect the timing at all, but I think you got to do what you got to do.
I respect him doing it and bringing awareness to the issue. But at the same time, I'm like you, and I think somebody in our group chat actually made the statement, like, you knew this was going on when you signed your contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did you wait until now? So I'm like you. I don't necessarily, and I hate to say I don't respect the timing. There could be other things that I don't understand, but.
That's a bad way to put it. I probably revert that. We can have Josh edit that out. But
yeah.
I think the game didn't change during the time.
Right.
NIL and transfer portal has been around for now a year and a half. Unless something changed in his mind, obviously we don't know. But It is what it is at this point.
And I think you're going to see more of that. Mark Stoops already made the comment that he doesn't know how much longer he can do it in the current stage of NIL and transfer. So I think you're going to see a lot of the older guys. You're going to see a wave of newer guys who have figured this out, who are on top of it. And you're going to see some, maybe not complete veterans, but there's some people that are going to be able to figure it out and navigate it. But I think you're definitely going to see that turnover of coaches in the near future, more and more, like Tony Bennett, like Coach K.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of, honestly, I think there's going to be more opportunity, as much as like there's less opportunity. I think there's going to be more opportunity for some different kinds of people to get in the game. I think you're going to see more assistant coaches that maybe not be basketball people.
Yep.
Like maybe some hoops, like not hoops people, like some fundraisers, like business guys. Like, I think that almost means more important now, like as bad as it sounds. Like, I know we're basketball guys, but like, if you're telling me you got a guy that can raise $1 million a year for NIL, they're going to put him on staff. Yep. I mean, that's the name of the game now. So, I mean, it's just changing, man. What's going to be next? That's the.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you've watched the Netflix series from the Untold series about the Stallions guy at Michigan with the sign stealing.
Which is crazy. He's like mocking everything now. It's like, yeah, he's on Barstool and.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, even those positions, you think about it, he wasn't a guy. He walked in as just a guy that wanted to coach and got in there and figured out something he was good at that didn't necessarily mean coaching. But yeah, he figured it out. And I think you're right. I think you're going to see those guys. You're going to see new positions created probably.
Yep. Which, didn't I see he did like his first project was like a weather report?
So one of his first projects was he developed, and he says he's going to use it one day when he gets a job, but he developed this recruiting map, man, of like, I mean, it goes back 10 to 15 years of where guys were recruited, what pick in the draft those guys were, what their college career was like. I mean, it is extensive. But yeah, it's like this map that will play through 10 to 15 years of statistics of, and that's where we're at with technology and AI now, right? I mean, you're going to see so much change with the recruiting process and the transfer process that there are going to be geniuses that maybe know nothing about basketball that figure this shit out and just make something work.
Crazy, man. I don't know. People are way smarter than me.
You and me both. You and me both. That's why we get paid the big bucks, Brady, is because of our looks.
We can just talk about what people do.
That's right.
We're like three steps behind. We can just get two steps.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, by the time you all are listening to this, we will have seen the Wildcats in action against Kentucky Wesleyan. And hopefully it's good news that we get to talk about next week, Brady. And we will see how that goes. But again, with Auburn as well, by the next episode, we'll have a little more update on Kentucky football and the landscape of that, as well as Kentucky basketball, and working on some guests in the future. But man, it's been another fun episode talking with you, Brady.
Yep. We'll be back.
We'll be back. You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Thank you. Me and Brady need that longer life. Until next week.
Yes, sir.
You know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.